Well, the title of today's message is called Your Field of Assignment. And I would just like to start out by sharing that, you know, when God created man, he created man in his own image, did he not? Amen? The scripture says that. God created man in his own image. And so when you think about the character and the nature of who God is, there's a lot that we see that has been imparted into the woman that he created when he created him in his image. You know, first of all, there is this creativity. Obviously, God is very creative, and God is very imaginative. When you consider all of the variety of, I mean, just the reality of human beings, all the variety of features. You know, when everyone, you know, for the most part, has, you know, the same features of two eyes, two ears, you know, one nose, one mouth, that kind of thing. And yet to diversify that so that every person is so uniquely created that they all have their own individual look. I mean, there's likenesses and things like that, but God is so creative. And then you think about all the animals that are in existence, and it, just the imaginativeness, the creativeness of God is just so far beyond what we typically think about. And here's another aspect of God and his being is that he is motivated by purpose. God had purpose in his design of humanity. God had purpose in his design of the heavens. You know, God is motivated by purpose, and he has imparted that to mankind as he created them in his image. And God is also satisfied by accomplishment. God is satisfied by accomplishment, and he imparted that to us as well. I mean, even in the creation as we read it in the first part of Genesis, we see that, you know, God says, you know, he created everything, then he says, there, I'm done, it's good. In fact, it's very good, and now I can rest. So it's like there's that satisfaction of a job well done. And he does the same with us. He imparts in us a creativity. He imparts in us imagination, and for us to be imaginative, he imparts to us the sense of accomplishment to be motivated by purpose, and then the satisfaction of accomplishing that purpose then, and then it's time to rest. It's like that's what God imparts to us as well. We struggle when we do not have purpose. We struggle when we do not have purpose. And let me tell you that daily existence is not purpose. And it's not going to be satisfying just to do what you have to do to eat and sleep. That's not going to satisfy. That won't fulfill because God has created you for more than that. He's created you with imagination. He's created you with a purpose in mind and to accomplish that purpose and to be satisfied and then rest. So that's how God has created you. And we're not going to be satisfied if we don't have purpose, if we're just merely existing. God never intended us to be purposeless. He has given us assignments. He intends for us to be motivated toward accomplishment. He intends for us to have the sense of satisfaction and then rest, knowing that we have made a difference. That's, I believe, summarized in what I'm attempting to entitle or in attempting to impart to you what is your field of assignment. First of all, let's look at a few scriptures, and these I have printed out on the screen. I came up with enough of them that I thought I'm going to put some on the screen and simplify it today. But from Isaiah chapter 25 and verse 1, it says, O Lord, I will honor and praise your name, for you are my God. You do such wonderful things. You planned them long ago, and now you have accomplished them. So speaking about the plans of God, God plans things and he's accomplished them. So let's understand God has a plan. In Psalms 33, verse 11, it says, But the Lord's plans stand firm forever. His intentions can never be shaken. Okay, so the plans of God, they're firm. They're established. They're going to happen. And then Psalms 139, this is a verse that I share with you frequently. It's one of them that I've embraced myself that I just really love. I appreciate this. Psalm 139, verse 16, that says, You saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. Now, does that sound like a plan? You know, God has a plan. He's got a plan for your life. He's got a plan individualized for you, and he even has it recorded in a book in heaven. How awesome is that? So God definitely has purpose for you. He has never intended for you to live purposeless. And he imparts to you imagination to determine or find that purpose and to be motivated to press after it and then to have the satisfaction of purpose fulfilled and the rest that comes with that. But the thing that is up to us really is to see that our plans line up with God's. Because, you know, if we're trying to do things our own way, you know, with our own plans, we're not going to ever sense the satisfaction of the purpose that he has for us, that purpose being accomplished. Okay, so we got to see to it that our plans line up with God's. And here's a couple of verses along that line. Psalm 16:9 that says, "We can make our plans, but the Lord determines our steps." Okay, so it's right for us to plan, but we need to continually subject those plans to the Lord and say, "Lord, your will be done, not mine." I mean, even in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus had a plan that was different than God's, but he offered it up. He said, "Lord, if there's any other way, you know, than me having to embrace this crucifixion, Lord, if there's any other way." And that he yielded it to God, and he said, "Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done." And so we need to let the Lord determine our steps, even when we make our plans. And then Psalm 16:3, this really talks about our plans succeeding when it says, "Commit your actions to the Lord, and your plans will succeed." That's turning our lives over and saying, "Lord, your will be done, not mine. I submit to you, I commit to you my actions, the things that I have determined that are right for me to do, I commit that to you first, Lord. And then I know that they will succeed if I'm doing what you intend for me to do." So let's talk a little bit about God's assignments then. I'll have you turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Second Corinthians 10 and verses 13 through 17. It says, "We will not boast about things done outside our area of authority. We will boast only about what has happened within the boundaries of the work God has given us, which includes our working with you. We are not teaching beyond these boundaries when we claim authority over you, as if we have never visited you. For we were the first to travel all the way to Corinth with the good news of Christ. Nor do we boast and claim credit for the work someone else has done. Instead, we hope that your faith will grow so that the boundaries of our work among you will be extended. Then we will be able to go and preach the good news in other places far beyond you, where no one else is working. Then there will be no question of our boasting about work done in someone else's territory. As the scriptures say, if you want to boast, boast only about the Lord." There's a couple of things that I want to point out in this, talking about God's assignment. And I want to share a couple of other translations in this. I just read to you from the New Living Translation. But in the New International Version, it says in verse 13, it says, "We, however, will not boast beyond proper limits, but will confine our boasting to the field God has assigned to us." A field that reaches even to you. Okay, so here he's talking about a field of assignment. From the language of the New International Version, it's defined as a field of assignment. The work that God has given you to do is called a field of assignment. From the New American Standard Bible Version, it says, "But we will not boast beyond our measure, but within the measure of the sphere which God has apportioned to us as a measure to reach even as far as you." So here it's defined as a sphere, a measure of a sphere which God has apportioned. So here's the different varieties of the terms that are being used in here. The work that God has given us, or his purpose, his plan, his intent for your life, are called these things: a field of assignment, a sphere apportioned to us, boundaries. Paul talked about boundaries, not boasting beyond our boundaries, or even he says not attempting to work in another man's territory. So there's boundaries to this field of assignment, or boundaries to this work that God has given us. And it's described as an area of authority. So with that word authority, then, I want to bring up another term that is not specifically a biblical term. However, you'll see the definition of it or the meaning of it described in a biblical manner, and I'll show you this here in just a bit. I'm going to call this areas of jurisdiction. Now, you're familiar with jurisdiction. You know, it might be, you know, a police patrol, they have areas of jurisdiction, or a government has an area of jurisdiction, you know, those kinds of things. But the definition of that, jurisdiction defined by the Webster's Dictionary, is the power, right, or authority to interpret and apply the law. It also means the authority of a sovereign power to govern or legislate. And jurisdiction is also described as the limits or territory within which authority may be exercised. Okay, so that's not too unfamiliar for us to understand that. The power, the right, or the authority to interpret and apply the law, the authority of a sovereign power to govern or legislate, the limits or territory within which authority may be exercised. So where am I going with this? When we talk about the application of an area of jurisdiction where we serve the Lord, it can be described as this: the God-given grace enabling a person to function within a limited level of God-given authority in the area of their gifting and anointing. It is the ability to receive, interpret, and discern God-given wisdom, revelation, and insight in line with the gift of grace that is given. Okay, so jurisdiction means a person is going to be able to have a place of authority in that area because God has graced them with the ability to do that. He's graced them with the ability to discern what's right and wrong in this area. Let me just quickly throw up an example. Parents in their family. That's an area of jurisdiction where God has graced you. He has given you the stuff necessary to discern what's right and wrong for your family, for your children. He gives you the place of authority as governing over that family. Now, that doesn't mean that a man can go and govern someone else's family. That's outside of his boundaries. Okay? So that's just a simple example of boundaries. It's a simple example of jurisdiction and the authority to do that. Now, let's talk about authority and power, and there is a difference between those two. Authority is delegated, and power is the ability to exercise that authority. Authority is something that is delegated, but the power is the ability to exercise that authority. Let me give you a couple of graphic examples, and you'll understand what I mean. Authority is like having the badge. Okay, someone has given you a badge and says you're in charge of this area. You have jurisdiction to express control in this area. That badge shows you have authority. That's a representation of your authority. However, there is no power in that badge. Here's the power. Okay, the tools you need to exercise the authority. So like in law enforcement, the badge is your symbol of authority that reveals that there has been an authority delegated to you, but then the tools, the restraints, the weapons, you know, whatever is needed to exercise that authority, that's the power that has been given to you. Okay, so there's a difference between authority and power. The badge is not going to be able to pull someone over. Okay, the badge is not going to be able to restrain someone. That's just a symbol of authority. The tools that are given are what enables a person to express that authority. And so that is the power. Now, when we talk about power and authority, we see this again scripturally. We see in Matthew 28 and verses 18 and 19, this is where Jesus says, Jesus came and told his disciples, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. What a statement. Now, this is after Jesus defeated the devil at the cross and in hell, was raised from the dead. He's defeated the devil, and he says, now, authority is mine, both in heaven and on earth. But then he says something to his disciples that is what is inferred here, what we can understand is implied, is that he is imparting a portion of that authority to his disciples when he says, now, therefore, the word therefore is there for a reason. And what it means is, as a result of this authority that is mine, both on heaven and earth, you go now. Okay, go and make disciples of all the nations. So you go make disciples. So there is the impartation of that authority. But it wasn't just the authority. He also knew that they needed the power, the ability, the grace, the ability to carry out that authority. And so in Luke 29, 49, he says, "And now I will send the Holy Spirit just as my Father promised, but stay here in the city until the Holy Spirit comes and fills you with power from heaven." So Jesus said, "Go, but now wait. Wait until you receive the power to go along with the authority." And that power source is the Holy Spirit. He is going to impart to you the tools necessary for you to do this ministry that I've called you to do. So not only is there the authority, the delegated authority, but there's also the impartation of the power, and that was coming from the Spirit of God, those gifts of grace of the Spirit of God. Okay, so let's go on and look at some examples of field of assignment. And these are basically from Paul, first of all, in Ephesians chapter 3, and I will have you look these verses up, if you would, with me. Ephesians chapter 3 and verses 7 and 8. It says, "By God's grace and mighty power, I have been given the privilege of serving him by spreading this good news. Though I am the least deserving of all God's people, he graciously gave me the privilege of telling the Gentiles about the endless treasures available to them in Christ." So here Paul is saying, he's defining basically his field of assignment when he says, by God's grace, in other words, the tools for me to do this have come as a result of a gift of God's grace. By God's grace, this is what he was given to do, telling the Gentiles the good news. He saw his basic calling when Jesus said, "Go into all the world," that was defined for Paul in the boundaries of his calling were, "Go to the Gentiles, Paul. That's the main thing that I've called you to do. Go to the Gentiles," telling the Gentiles the good news. And the way he was going to be able, or the power, the authority exercised in power, was by the grace of God. By God's grace, he was called to tell the Gentiles the good news. And then in Colossians chapter 1, just turn a couple of pages to the right, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 25. Says, "God has given me the responsibility of serving his church by proclaiming his entire message to you." Now, it goes on with more detail than that, but for the purpose of what I want to share with you now, he talks about his field of assignment was to be a servant to the church. "God has given me the responsibility of serving his church." That was a field of assignment of Paul, to serve his church. And then he said, now, exercising that, I'm going to be sharing with you the entire message. I'm going to preach to you the message of this gospel in its completeness. I'm going to speak about it completely, proclaiming his entire message. That was his responsibility in serving the church. Okay, then in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 10, so you're going to back up a few books. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 10. Again, a defining part of Paul's field of assignment. It says, "Because of God's grace to me, I have laid the foundation like an expert builder. Now others are building on it, but whoever is building on this foundation must be very careful." Okay, so we see Paul's defining his field of assignment, and again, the way he was enabled to carry that out, the power for that assignment to be accomplished was by the grace of God. God imparted his grace. Those are the tools for carrying out the power of his authority. Because of God's grace, he said, "I have laid the foundation." And so it's defining an apostolic ministry. When Paul goes into this, you know, "I've been called to the Gentiles, I've been called to be a servant to the church," he says, "I've been called to give the entire message of the gospel, and in that to lay a foundation." He's defining his field of assignment. He's defining his sphere of work that God had called him to do. He's reflecting in that the pages that God has inscribed about his life before even one day was lived. Even when Paul was back persecuting the church as Saul and seeing Christians being put to death and presiding over that awful activity, yet God had a purpose and a plan that he had to bring Paul to a realization of what that was so that he could fulfill that plan. And God went to drastic measures for that to happen in Paul's life. And so it is with us. God has a field of assignment for us. He has a plan and a purpose for us. And God desires for us to be imaginative enough to discover what that is. And so let's talk about our own field of assignment or our own areas of jurisdiction. From 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. This is a verse that I brought up last week when we were talking about when we were in the midst of our revealing to you what we as a church desire to see take place and you becoming a functioning part of this congregation, of this body. I shared this verse with you from 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 10. It says, God has given each of you a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well to serve one another. Okay, so here again, there's an impartation that God has given. It's a result of his grace. He equips you. He gives you the tools. Excuse me. And then he gives you an area of assignment. The tools are the special gift. Each one has received a special gift. That's the tools that God has given you. And then he gives you an area. Well, it talks about from his variety of special gifts. So there's God's gifts are so in such multiple forms. There's such variety of special gifts. And it says use them to serve one another. So this is a broad, this doesn't describe specifically what your area is. He goes on in there to talk about a variety of areas in this 1 Peter chapter 4. He says, you know, the gift of speaking. Then, you know, do it as though God were speaking through you. Helping others, you know, do it with the strength and energy God supplies. So, you know, he goes on to define it. And many places in Scripture there are the variety of gifts that are expressed and to do them as unto the Lord. So what we do, what we need to do is we need to discover our own. What is my area of jurisdiction? What is my sphere of serving the Lord? What is my area of assignment, the field of assignment that God has given me? And then in the New American Standard Bible, it uses this phrase, as to serve one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. The grace of God, again, is the impartation for the power that you need to fulfill that area of jurisdiction that God has called you to. Here, you know, is one of the ways that, or a variety of ways, that you will be able to define or to discern what it is that God has called you to. By the gifts that he has given you and you expressing those gifts, these are some things that you will discover. You know, we've already talked about, and so I'll call these characteristics of your assignment or your area of jurisdiction. We've already talked about the authority. Okay, that's the delegated responsibility that comes from God. You know, that's one of the characteristics of the assignment. You will know that there's an authority to be exercised, like I was describing, parents in a family, you know, a different area of ministry, authority, and then also the power, which is the enabling gifts of God's grace. But here's some ways that you can discern that. You will experience desire or ambition. And I'll share with you some scriptures along this line. There'll be desire to do the things that God has called you to do. There'll be energy to do what God has called you to do. And this is one of the defining ways of discerning what it is that God has called you to do is, are you energized by it? Or does it just really pull you down, weigh you down? It's like, oh, it's so difficult to function in this. Sometimes that's the simplest way of discerning that. And it's not meaning that the things that you do for God aren't going to require a lot of energy. You aren't going to, you know, weigh you down because of the expression of energy, but you're energized to do it. You sense that. And also confidence and competence. These are characteristics of knowing your field of assignment. Your area of jurisdiction is by the desire, the energy, and the confidence that you will experience in doing those things. Okay, so let's look at those scripturally. We'll see that they are defined by Scripture. In desire, Psalms 37 and verse 4 says, this is a familiar passage, delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. God will plant desires in your heart that are according to his will. You know, I almost each time I share the scripture, I feel like I need to establish the difference between, you know, any desire that we have. When, you know, we say delight yourself in the Lord and he'll give you the desires of heart, that doesn't mean that whatever you desire, God's going to give you. What that means is if you are doing the delighting in the Lord, in other words, you're saying, God, I want your will in my life, your will, not mine, then what this is saying is that the desires that are in your heart will have been imparted to you by God. They'll be God's desires for you, and that desire then becomes motivation for you to fulfill what God has for you to do. You know, I typically describe it like this. If you do not have it in your heart to go to a third world country and be a missionary for the Lord, it's probably God has not planted that desire in you. And some people are afraid to commit themselves wholly to the Lord because they're afraid that God's going to make them do something they don't want to do. But here's the whole thing. You commit yourself wholly to the Lord, and whatever it is God wants you to do, you'll desire to do that. Even if it's to go to a third world country and be a missionary for him, there'll be nothing that can keep you away from that because you have such desire and such ambition to do that. So there's that desire. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he'll give you the desires of your heart. And then Romans chapter 15 and verse 20 says this, my ambition, okay, see, there's that ambition. My ambition has always been to preach the good news where the name of Christ has never been heard, rather than where a church has already been started by someone else. You see that apostolic pioneer spirit of the Apostle Paul. His ambition was, I'm not just going to go where someone else has already established a church. I'm a foundation layer. I'm going to go where Jesus hasn't been preached. That's my ambition. That's always been my ambition. You see, that was his sphere. That was his field of assignment that God had imparted to him, and he had that desire to go and do it. It was that ambition to go and do it. So that's a characteristic of what your assignment is. Okay, then also energy. Energy. I like energy. Any of you like it? You know, there's this little energy drink that they advertise on TV. No calories, whatever. Does anyone know what that is? I mean, straight caffeine, is that what it is? Just, it looks, I don't know, strange. But anyway, you know, there's other ways to get energy other than chemical hype, okay? So, but, and one of them is God's impartation, God imparting his energy to you. And we see this again scripturally, 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 10. Paul says, but whatever I am now, it is all because God poured out his special favor on me and not without results. For I have worked harder than any of the other apostles, yet it was not I, but God who was working through me by his grace. So Paul says, you know, I've been working my tail off. You know, even if you compare me to the other apostles, I've been doing a whole lot more than them. But you know what? It's not me. He says, I'm not taking credit for it. It was God working through me. He gave me the ability to do, he gave me the energy to work my tail off. So, you know, there is the imparted energy coming from the Lord when he's doing the work. And then Colossians 1:29, it says, that's why I work and struggle so hard, depending on Christ's mighty power that works within me. This is right after that verse where he says, I'm a servant to the church. And he says, I'm imparting the complete message to you. And he goes on to say, you know, that's why I work and struggle so hard. He says, I'm working really hard at this. But you know what? I'm depending on Christ's mighty power. He strengthens me to do this work. And then, again, this follows the verse from 1 Peter 10 where I was talking about, you know, God has imparted special gifts. Use them as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. And it goes on to say, do you have the gift of helping others? Do it with all the strength and energy that God supplies. Okay, so there comes the energy from God. God supplies you with the energy to serve, even no matter what your area of service is. It might be a very physical or very emotional kind of draining kind of work typically, but God gives you the energy to do it. He gives you the desire. He gives you the ambition. He gives you the energy to do it. And then also along with that comes the confidence and the competence. And we see this from 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 4 through 6 that says this, such confidence we have through Christ toward God. Not that we are adequate in ourselves to consider anything as coming from ourselves, but our adequacy, or I'll interchange the word competency. Our competency or adequacy is from God, who also made us adequate or competent as servants of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. So he starts out saying, this confidence we have is through Christ. And this competence that we have, or this adequacy, is because of him. He's made us to be adequate. He's made us to be competent. So that, again, defines or distinguishes what our area of jurisdiction or our field of assignment is going to reveal in us. It's going to result in this confidence that we have because we know we're doing what God has us to do. And we know that we're not doing it in our own strength. We know that we're doing it by the grace that God has given us. He's made us adequate to do this. Okay, so if we know these things, that God has created us in his image, and with that he's given us creativity, with that he's given us an imagination or imaginable, with that he has given us gifts to serve him, with that he's given us the energy, the tools, the authority and the power to do that, knowing that God has a plan for us so that it's already recorded in a book in heaven, the only thing left then is for us to respond. What is our response? You know, it's not, you know, just go with God's plan if you can't come up with something on your own. You know, or if things aren't working out for you, then, well, okay, you know, maybe I'll do what God wants me to do. Or it's not just, you know, my life is so busy, I don't have time for what God has for me. You know, that shows that there's a problem. That shows an inappropriate response to all that God has prepared for you and laid out for you. His intent is that you find it, that you serve in that, serve faithfully in that, and experience the satisfaction of accomplishment. Because he put that in you. And if you are not accomplishing his purpose for you, you're not going to be satisfied. You're going to always be puzzled with what's the significance of my life. It's because you're not fulfilling the purpose that God has for you. So his intent is that you be able to rest with the accomplishment as he has designed it for you. So his desire is for you to respond in this manner. First of all, knowing that you'll give an account. No matter what your response is, you will give an account to the Lord. 2 Corinthians 5, 10 says, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ so that each one may be recompensed for his deeds in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. Okay, so there will be a day when we stand before the Lord and he's going to say, what did you do with the plan, my plan for your life? What did you do with the authority that I imparted to you and the power that was given to you by the Spirit of God and by his gifts of grace? What did you do with that? And then we give an account for our life and whether we did or did not. And the rewards will come according to the recompense, will come according to the deeds that we have done, whether good or evil. So let's know that when we're discerning about, you know, what kind of a response do I want to have to God. There's a day when we answer to him. There's a day when we answer. I think this is most easily revealed in the parable of the talents in Matthew 25, and I'm not going to go into let's do that. It's not going to take that long. Matthew chapter 25, and you've all been so quiet, so patient with me. You're such a good audience this morning that I know that I can take you this extra time here to no one's fussing about. Just come play with you a little bit. Matthew 25 and the parable of the talents or three servants starts with verse 14. Very familiar, but I'll go ahead. Points out a couple of significant things here. Again, the kingdom of heaven can be illustrated by the story of a man going on a long trip. He called together his servants and entrusted his money to them while he was gone. He gave 5 bags of silver to one, 2 bags of silver to another, and 1 bag of silver to the last, dividing it in proportion to their abilities. He then left on his trip. The servant who received the 5 bags of silver began to invest the money and earned 5 more. The servant with 2 bags of silver also went to work and earned 2 more. But the servant who received the 1 bag of the silver dug a hole in the ground and hid the master's money. After a long time, their master returned from his trip and called them to give an account. Okay, remember, we will give an account. called them to give an account of how they had used his money. The servant to whom he had entrusted the 5 bags of silver came forward with 5 more and said, "Master, you gave me 5 bags of silver to invest, and I have earned 5 more. The master was full of praise. "Well done, my good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in handling this small amount. So now I will give you many more responsibilities. Let's celebrate together." The servant who had received the 2 bags of silver came forward and said, "Master, you gave me 2 bags of silver to invest, and I have earned 2 more. The master said, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. You've been faithful in handling this small amount, so now I will give you many more responsibilities. Let's celebrate together." Then the servant with the 1 bag of silver came and said, "Master, I knew you were a harsh man, harvesting crops you didn't plant and gathering crops you didn't cultivate. I was afraid I would lose your money, so I hid it in the earth. Look, here is your money back." But the master replied, "You wicked and lazy servant. If you knew I harvested crops I didn't plant and gathered crops I didn't cultivate, why didn't you deposit my money in the bank? At least I could have gotten some interest on it." Then he ordered, "Take the money from the servant and give it to the one with the 10 bags of silver. To those who use well what they are given, even more will be given, and they will have an abundance. But from those who do nothing, even with what little they have, even what little they have will be taken away. Now throw this useless servant into outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Now that judgment seems very, very, I don't know if I should use the word harsh, but it's very, very determined. There's a very determined judgment there for the sloth of the slave who just went and buried the talent or the silver that was given to him. And so what we see here is the appropriate response is faithfulness. And then there'll be the response back from God, either "Well done, good and faithful servant," or "Good and faithful slave." That will be the response back from God, or "Wicked, lazy slave. Even what you have now is going to be taken away from you." And as we see in this, the amount is what is not significant. You know, the one was given 2 bags instead of 5. And when he comes back with the 2 more, the master didn't say, "What? This other one, he earned 5 more. Why didn't you earn 5 more like he did?" Well, you know, the first one received 5 and he went and did 5 more. Again, it was apportioned to them according to their ability. And so we'll see that we have different abilities and different apportionments of fields of assignment from God. Some fields are bigger than other fields of assignment. The size of the field or the apportionment is not what's significant here at all. What's significant is our being faithful to use that or to serve in that capacity as faithful stewards of the manifold grace of God. It's not dependent upon how much we do, how big our field of assignment is. It's dependent upon us being faithful with what God has given us. But if we just bury that talent, say, "You know, my part's not a big deal. And you know what? If I go out and I do this, I could embarrass myself. And you know, God, he had a wrong perspective of the master. You know, God is such a taskmaster. If I go out and I make a mistake, he's going to shut me down. He's going to blow me over. He'll probably, you know, lose all my possessions or whatever." You know, you just get this wrong perspective of God. And so what Jesus is teaching in this parable is that each one of us have been entrusted with things in his time of separation. The master went away. That's Jesus having gone to heaven. He entrusted us with his gifts and he went to heaven. But there's a day when the master's going to come back and we'll give an account. So what's your response? What's your response back to the Lord then? Walking in God's plan for your life? You know, that's what's going to bring the satisfaction. Reaching the potential, your potential as a member of his body. And the question is, what is your gift of grace? And are you employing it? Are you walking out the days of God's journal for you in heaven? Before you even lived one of them, they're all inscribed. And he's given us the authority, the field of assignment. He's given us the power, the gifts of grace to do it. He gives you the desire, the ambition. He gives you the energy. He gives you the confidence and the competence. What more is there for us to respond with saying, "Yes, Lord, I'm going to do what you've asked me to do"? Now, you know, this plays out again, just to complete the thought of this, as I started out the service, we were talking about, you know, we have this tendency to compartmentalize our life. And sometimes pastors have a tendency to compartmentalize people's lives in the congregation and say, okay, there's your family life, there's your work life, there's your service to the Lord life in the church. And see, your service to the Lord, a part of that is in the church, but there's the whole of your life that is a service to the Lord. Your field of assignment, a part of that, I believe, will be in the body, because he gives us gifts to serve one another in the body, and there are ample opportunities of serving the Lord in this congregation. We're not going to let you rest unless you just absolutely refuse to participate. We'll keep appealing to you for help in a variety of areas, and there's a bunch of them. You know, we have special events, you know, one coming up in 2 weeks that there'll be ample opportunity to serve. And some of you have already signed up to do that. That's, you know, praise God. But it goes beyond your experience here. You don't just say, okay, I served God in church because I helped at that motorcycle rally. I'm doing my part. I'm being faithful. There is the whole of your life that God has called you to serve him, to serve him in your family, to serve him in your sphere of influence at work, in school, whatever the circumstances of your life are. God has not compartmentalized it to say, okay, church, serve him. Then the rest of your time is your own. Do whatever you want. It's like the whole of the gifting that God has given you is to serve him and to serve the people that are around you. Your ability to have employment, you know, what it ought to be is you walking in that plan that God has for your life, having the desire, having the energy, having the confidence and the competence, and oh, by the way, you get paid to do it too. How about that? And there comes the resources for your family and your living and so on and so forth. That's the plan and intent of God. So, you know, maybe we just need to, you know, if you're frustrated with your life and not sensing the fulfillment of accomplishment, the satisfaction, maybe there needs to be a time where you're just starting to seek out the Lord and say, God, what is it that you have? What have you inscribed on the pages of your book for me? And help me to find that, Lord. What are the talents that you have entrusted to me? And start discovering what those gifts are and then serving God to your utmost capacity with the energy that he gives you to do it. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Lord, we want to this day offer ourselves up to you. I know that this is a church congregation that is filled, Lord, with very, very gifted people. We've seen that over and over again. The expression of those gifts coming in their multiple forms. And my prayer is, Lord, that we would just take seriously that it's not just within the body that we express these, but it's in the entirety of our life that we express the gifts and the authority and the power over the boundary, in the boundaries, Lord, that you have given us. And so help us to define the boundaries. Help us to understand what is our part or our field of assignment. And then to delve into it, Lord, with the energy that you equip us to do it, with the desire and the ambition to do it. Lord, my prayer is that we be serious about this so that we won't have to stand before you and listen to a judgment kind of word that would be wicked, lazy, slave, take away what they have, give it to one who's been faithful. But instead, Father, we would hear those very satisfying words, the ultimate, Lord, the ultimate for eternity, when you would say, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things. Here's a whole bunch more responsibilities because of your faithfulness. And come, let's celebrate together. We desire to hear those words, Lord. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.